Walking in the Spirit, which I should have titled it Sowing to the Spirit, kind of the same thing. But have you ever wanted to react with kindness or love and grace when you were mistreated? Or have you ever just like not wanted to get angry, not wanted to lose your patience, not wanted to do those things when something happens to you and then you find that you do just the opposite? Has that ever happened to anybody here tonight? Okay. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, we're not going to be there, we're going to be in Galatians 5, but in Romans 7, he wrote about that this dilemma that we all have. And that is the good that we want to do, we don't do. And the bad that we don't want to do, that we do. And it is because of this carnal mind or the flesh or that sin nature, which is at enmity with the Spirit of God, that the flesh wants to fight all of the time. And praise the Lord, we have new birth. We were born again so that we have His Holy Spirit living inside of us, so we don't have to be under the law of sin and give into that sin nature all the time. Before we knew the Lord, that's all we knew how to do. Your flesh tells you to do something, you do it. Well, we're not under that power anymore. We're under the power of the Holy Spirit, a new law. But we still struggle. We still struggle. Paul wrote also in Romans, but in Romans chapter 6, he wrote that our old man was crucified with him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should be no longer slaves of sin. So our old man, that old nature that you were born with, that your mother knows really well, or that kind of comes out at home, that old man was crucified on the cross with Jesus. It means that our old man was rendered inoperative, or that it would not have the control anymore, that controlling power, that our old man would not be in control anymore. It was put out of business, was not completely dead. It's kind of like a sleeping death that our old man has. I wish it were dead. When we're face to face with the Lord, then your sin nature is gone. But right now it's like in this, it's put out of business, and it's just, it has a little bit of life in it. It's laying in the grave, but that old man wants to get out of the grave and fight every single day, all day long, wants to lift its head out of the grave. But it no longer controls us because we are under the control of the Holy Spirit. God has given us His Holy Spirit, lives inside of us, dwells in us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, but also we can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit would be upon us so that we would be filled. We would be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to do a study on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but if you don't know what I'm talking about and you have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, would you come talk to me afterward or talk with your group leader? Because it is vital that you have the Holy Spirit upon your life so that you can live this walk life and walk in the Spirit, because we want to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is walking as Christ did, in letting Him and those, the fruit of the Spirit, and His attributes flow out of our lives. Galatians chapter 5, if you have turned there, I'm going to start in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, meaning the list is not complete, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things or continually, habitually live by those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So let me ask you a question and give you time to think about and maybe jot your answer down. Nobody will look at your answers, just for you. What have you done today to sow to the Spirit? How have you sown to the Spirit today? So just take a minute and think about that, and you can just jot your answers down really quick. And I'm going to get a drink. So we want to talk about walking in the Spirit or sowing to the Spirit, but before we do that, we want to identify what isn't walking in the Spirit. We want to identify walking in the flesh, because sometimes it's a little more subtle than maybe we think that it is. And I'm not going to dwell on this because it's not a real perky subject. But here in Galatians, there's a list of the works of the flesh, and not a complete list again. But the first one is adultery. So anyone who is continually unfaithful in marriage, that is a work of the flesh. Fornication, which is any kind of sex outside of marriage, is a work of the flesh. Uncleanness, and this kind of refers to a sexual impurity, which can mean a lot, that is a work of the flesh. Lewdness, which is just shameless conduct. I don't care. I can do, wear, say whatever I want, and too bad about that. That's a work of the flesh. Idolatry, which is putting anything or anyone before the Lord, is a work of the flesh. Sorcery, which is also translated witchcraft, but the word is pharmakia in the Greek, which pharmacy, pharmaceutical things, so it's drug related also. So any kind of occult activity or any kind of drugs or anything, it's a work of the flesh. Certainly not walking in the Spirit. Hatred is a work of the flesh. We're not walking in the Spirit when there's hate. Contentions, which is just that quarreling. Proverbs talks about that contentious woman that, you know, they'd rather be on the rooftop, the corner of the rooftop of the house than inside the house with a contentious woman, because she's in the flesh. It's a work of the flesh when we're bickering and we're contentious. Jealousies. Anybody ever been jealous of anybody or anything? You have those thoughts. It's a work of the flesh. Outbursts of wrath, just that quick temper that just lashes out, that's a work of the flesh. Selfish ambitions, anything of self is a work of the flesh. dissensions, which is that divisiveness. It's a work of the flesh. Anytime it can be a little subtle little thing where you can divide a little friend. You can, you know, say something to cause division. It's a work of the flesh. Heresies, or that self-willed opinions. This is my opinion above the word of God. That's a work of the flesh. Envy, murders, drunkenness, because you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're controlled by the alcohol. It's a work of the flesh. Revelries, which is just riotous gatherings, when you just crazy, crazy party things, and the like. Again, it's not a full list. There's also a little list in Ephesians 4 and then in Colossians 3 where it tells us that we're to put these things off because they're works of the flesh. Slander. Anytime we slander somebody, we speak evil of someone, it's a work of the flesh. Gossip. When we pass on information and not just pass, you know, gossip isn't just saying, oh, did you hear so-and-so bought a new, you know, house? It's not gossip. But when there's, you know, maliciousness behind it. We're doing something. We're passing that on. Gossip, it's a work of the flesh. Lying is a work of the flesh. Not walking in the Spirit. Bitterness, as Annie shared about last week, that is a work of the flesh. Filthy language, which is becoming, well, I mean, it's always been out there in the world, but within Christianity, they're using filthy language. I'm sorry, it's a work of the flesh. You are not walking in the Spirit if you have filthy language coming out of your mouth. And I would like to add, too, works of the flesh and not walking in the Spirit is when we worry. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But we're not walking in the Spirit when we're worrying, when we doubt, when we fear. Just go on and on, these works of the flesh. Anytime these things and more are in our hearts or in our minds or they come out of our lives, we are walking in the flesh. That's just the way that it is. We're not walking in the Spirit. We're told in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 about putting off. We need to, and then also in Romans where Paul says to reckon the old man to be dead to sin, to not let sin reign in us, to not obey the urges or the lusts of our flesh. We're to put off all these works of the flesh, to put off the temper, the anger, the impatience, all those things. We are to put them off. We are to consciously and purposefully fight against it and say no. No to the flesh. No. No, you're not going to act like that. No, you're not going to be impatient. No, you're not going to say this. No, you're not going to lash out. No, you're not going to worry. No, you're not going to do this. No, you're not. Whatever it might be. That's part of our responsibility as Christians is to say no to the flesh. Put it off. Put it off. Put it off. We need to starve the lusts of the flesh. There's that perfect illustration where you have the two dogs, the black dog, the white dog, and you have them on a leash. And whichever one that you feed and give attention to is going to be the stronger one. And so we need to starve that black dog, that fleshly nature, that fleshly dog, because it's going to lead us astray. So we need to starve that dog. But then we also need to feed the other one. Feed the other one. Because we can't, our Christian life isn't just no, 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 no. Put off, put off, put off, put off. I can't say that and I can't do that. And we beat ourselves up because we do that. And, you know, that's not what our Christian life is to be. It's not just put off. It's not just starve the flesh, but it's feed the Spirit. It's sowing to the Spirit. Now, when we sow to the Spirit or when we walk in the Spirit, the first and foremost thing that we need to do, which is not what I'm going to go into, but it's the number one thing, and that is surrender. It is laying my life, laying down my will, and just completely surrender to the Lord, to His Holy Spirit, every day, each day, every moment of the day, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him, as an instrument of righteousness. That full surrender to Him. And, you know, I've shared this before, but my life verse is Luke 1:38, where Mary, when she's told the news about that she's going to be carrying the Son of God, her response to that was, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." In other words, Lord, whatever you want to do, I am yours forever. All of me for you forever. Whatever you want to do in my life. And I think that that's my life verse because I don't easily do that. I'm very strong-willed. And I like my way. And it's been a fight. So I have that theme of surrender in my life all the time. Constant reminder that I need to lay down my life to yield to the Spirit so that I walk in the Spirit and I don't walk in this very ugly flesh of mine. But we must also then sow to the Spirit. That's what I want to talk about in order for us to walk in the Spirit. In the next chapter in Galatians, in chapter 6, he says that whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 7 and 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And again, in Ephesians, we're told we're to put on. We put on tender mercies. We put on kindness. We put on humility. We put on long-suffering. Romans tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Romans 13:14. That's a good one to write down and memorize. Now, we can and we should discipline ourselves, because this Christian life and walking in the Spirit, it's a discipline. And we should discipline ourselves to do these things, to put off and to put on, and to react with kindness, to react with love and patience and humility and gentleness and all of the fruit of the Spirit. And that is our goal. But what we want to do, we don't want to just to discipline it ourselves so then we can just kind of, you know, say, okay, I'm doing this. But we want this, the fruit of the Spirit to just flow out of our lives. And that's what we're, when we walk and we, year after year with the Lord and we grow, that's what we're after, is for that just to flow now out of my life. Before I knew the Lord, a lot of other things just would flow right out of my life, right off my tongue. They're just an automatic response to certain things. Well, as I surrender myself to the Lord and I practice that putting off and that putting on, that then it just becomes a way of life. It just flows out. So it's not a, I gotta put that off and I gotta put that on. Okay, now I'm gonna be a nice person kind of a thing. And we all have those moments still where we have to, you know, just make that choice. But don't you rather want it just to flow? It's just that immediate reaction of love and grace and the fruit of the Spirit to flow out of your life. So as we sow to the Spirit, as we yield to the Spirit, that's going to happen more and more. It's a discipline, and it's just a habit. It's a habit. to sow to the Spirit, then we will decrease and He will increase in our lives. And that's what we want. And that's our prayer. Now, I don't know if you pray that. I'm sure you do, but I pray that quite often. Lord, help me to decrease so You can increase in my life. You know, I wish I had a visual, but I don't. You'll have to picture it in your mind. But if you have a cup of like something dark, like grape juice or something, and you use a clear glass, and we put some, you know, plastic wrap or something over the top, and you take a pitcher of water. So this is the flesh right here, all the grape juice, the dark, yucky stuff. And you have the living water, the Holy Spirit in this pitcher, and you're going to pour it in here. Well, if we don't yield, if we don't sow, it's not getting through. Because we've put a barrier there. We're not allowing Him. We're not decreasing at all. And how is He going to increase? So you remove that and you yield and you try to, you're putting off and you're putting on. You're just saying, yes, Lord, You got to help me. As He pours in, you just continual flow. Pretty soon, all of that grape juice, it's just going to come out and it's, you know, it what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. It's not evaporate. It's diluted. So you know how it's like, then it's a little grapey and then now it's clearer and clearer and clearer, you know? I mean, that's how when we surrender to Him, that's what we want. And we decrease and He increases in our lives. Now this sowing and reaping, we do reap what we sow. It is a spiritual law and it's also a physical law. We know that. If we sow corn seed in the ground, what are we going to reap? We're going to reap corn. Corn is going to grow. If we sow watermelon seed in our garden, what are we going to reap? We're going to reap watermelons. If we sow crabgrass or dandelion seed, then what are we going to reap? We're going to reap lots of weeds. If we sow sugar and caffeine and preservatives and all kinds of that yucky stuff in our bodies, what are we going to reap? An unhealthy body. I mean, it's just a spiritual law. It is a physical law, that sowing and reaping. Now, most of us don't purposely sow to our flesh. We don't wake up in the morning and say, well, what can I do today to feed this flesh of mine? We don't do that. We want to please the Lord. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want the Spirit to flow through our lives. That's, you know, I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be here. That's what we want in our lives. But I think there's sometimes things that we do that we don't realize are sowing to our flesh. And if we sow to our flesh, we're going to reap of our flesh. And sometimes if we're in a constant battle of fighting our flesh and not walking in the Spirit very much, could be because I've been sowing to my flesh and I maybe don't know about it. There are things that aren't necessarily bad things or forbidden things. They could be neutral things in life or things that we might have the liberty to do, to watch, to listen to be around, that kind of a thing. But they're not helpful. And so they end up sowing to our flesh and we may not be aware of it. We could be watching a neutral TV show or something like that. But if it stirs up any kind of fleshly attitudes or fleshly thoughts, then we're sowing to the flesh. And you're just, well, I'm just watching a TV show. You could be sowing to your flesh and you're going to reap from the flesh. You're going to reap corruption. It was some time ago that I found myself, and I'm very disciplined, and I love my quiet time in the morning. it's my, the highlight. I love it. So I don't skip it. So I was having my quiet time. I'm going to church and I'm doing everything that I love to do and that I want to do that sows to the Spirit in my life. But I found myself, getting a little, I don't know. I was just like a little agitated. I was a little, I don't know the word. It would just kind of, not feisty, but kind of, I mean, a little nitpicky or a little quick, a little more quick tempered or, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm sure you've all gotten that way a little bit. Okay. And I just thought, you know, maybe even a little negative or whatever. And I just thought, what is the matter with you? What's wrong with you? Why is your attitude so bad? Kind of days went by. I'm like, what is this? Well, it just, you know, one day it dawned on me, which I'm sure that's the Lord speaking to me. And I thought, you know, I had been watching a neutral TV show, you know, a couple of weeks in a row. Not a big deal. I have the liberty to watch it. I thought, I wonder if that's it. So, I'm not going to watch that. I could not believe the difference. And I just thought, I had this conversation with the Lord. This is like weird. Why would this neutral thing affect my attitude? But I'm sowing to my flesh. Because you're listening to people, you're listening to worldly ways of thinking and doing and that kind of a thing, and oh, so suddenly it just rubs off on you. It comes off on you. And it can change your attitude. You're not walking in the Spirit. I have the liberty to do that, freedom to do that. But it wasn't helpful. I wasn't sowing to my spirit. I was sowing to the flesh. And I don't know about you, but I do not need any help sowing to my flesh. So my flesh is already quite alive and active by itself. I don't need any more help. So it could be you tonight. I don't know. You know, we're not going to tell anybody what you can and can't watch, read, listen to, be around. But hey, if you're having a little battle, ask the Lord, boy, is there something in my life that, you know, maybe you've allowed me to do, but may not be helping me, and it might make a difference. So I have six little things, not little things or big things, of how to sow to the Spirit. There's tons, but I have six. The first one, and probably the first one we could all shout out at the same time and have the right answer, and that is the Word of God. Sowing to the Spirit in your life starts with the Word of God. In Ephesians, it talks about the washing of the water by the Word of God. And that's what the Word does. It washes. It washes our minds. It washes our hearts. It is so alive. It is so wonderful. And our minds and our eyes and our ears get so polluted every single day. We need that spiritual shower and just that word to wash over us. Romans talks about the renewing of our mind by the Word of God. Boy, does my mind need to get renewed each and every day, all day long. Renewed mind, because it is, I'm so easily distracted and I can go and I can see things and it can trigger that thought and that thought and that thought and need that Word of God continually washing over my mind by reading the Word daily, not just one verse. You got to read portions of it. I can't survive on a verse. I can't survive on a psalm. I need the meat of the Word to wash my heart and my mind. So read the Word daily. Study the Word. Everybody, all of us, we all need to dig in and study the Word. Get a Bible dictionary, get a commentary, and dig in and find out what that, I mean, just, if you have a Bible dictionary, go home and take these verses out of Galatians and read and dig in to find out what each one really means. I mean, that's meat. That is sowing to the Spirit. The Spirit is just saying, yes, it's just nutrition, spiritually. Memorize the Word. That's a disciplined mind. Boy, we need disciplined minds. Memorize. It takes discipline to memorize. And then your mind is right where it's supposed to be. So memorize the Word of God and then meditate on the Word of God. So heaven fills your thoughts all day, every day. Let heaven fill your thoughts. That Word is sowing to the Spirit. Listen to Bible studies. You know, we are in our cars a lot. I mean, if we added up the time we spend in our cars, it's just, you know, the American way. Put a Bible study on. Put a CD in there or on your iPod. Listen to Bible studies, even if it's 5 minutes here and 4 minutes here and 10 minutes there. It doesn't matter. It's going in. It's going in, and it's cleansing your mind. And boy, you're redeeming the time. Really redeeming the time. The second way to sow to the Spirit is through prayer. That conversation and fellowship with the Lord all day long. A prayer time, yes, but an all day prayer time. You just talk to the Lord all day, every day about absolutely everything. That's sowing to the Spirit. That's keeping our heart and mind right where it's supposed to be. And in prayer, also in intercession, when we pray for other people, we are sowing to the Spirit, because it takes our mind off of ourselves. It takes us on the need of the person and then the power of God to work in their lives. Boy, that's sowing to the Spirit. Number three is worship and praise to the Lord. Boy, that again is sowing to the Spirit. You're singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Having that praise music on or just singing out, it just sows to your spirit. It feeds your inner man. And it's very difficult to have this flesh flash or this fleshly thing in the middle of worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord. When my girls were preteen teenagers, they, with all the hormones that were going on in their bodies and mine at the same time, and the emotions and the whole everything, those mornings getting ready for school were not fun. And, you know, it'd be great if each one had their own bathroom, you know, but it doesn't work out that way. So I just thought, I don't know what to do. So I started putting praise music on. I would wake them up by turning on the praise music in the morning. I could not believe the difference. You can't get up and start fighting when you have this praise music on. I mean, you can if you got really strong flesh, but more times than not, that didn't happen. It's that sowing to the Spirit. So try that with your children, or try just turning on, did they have the Bible on CD, or just, you know, having that fill your home and fill your heart and your mind. Giving God the glory, just praising him for things. I mean, this is November. It's almost Thanksgiving. Isn't this the thankful month? I mean, we all, you know, have that countdown and thanking the Lord for something every single day and all that, which should be every day for our lives as Christians. But praising and thanking the Lord is sowing to your spirit. I know a lot of you have read or are reading, and somebody gave me the book, that 31 Days of Praise. And where she takes scriptures and turns them to praise and thanksgiving, which is kind of what we do when we read the Word anyway. I love it. It's sowing to your spirit because you're just saying, yes, Lord, praise you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you that my old man was crucified on the cross. Thank you that I can walk in the Holy Spirit. Thank you. You've given me the power to walk in the Spirit. Thank you that love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and long suffering can flow out of my life today. You're just praising and thanking him. That is sowing to the Spirit. Number four is fellowship. Hebrews tells us to stir one another up to love and good works. That's sowing to the Spirit. You're sowing to the Spirit in somebody else's life and yours. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We need the body of Christ. We need good fellowship. We need girlfriends and all that other stuff. Yes, we do. But we need those good, godly, spiritually focused relationships and fellowship with one another. So we're sowed to the Spirit. That's sowing to the Spirit. Number five is serving. Serving the Lord. You're sowing to the Spirit. Doing good. You're doing good for him, for the kingdom, for others. You're sowing to the Spirit. You're sowing to his kingdom. You're helping people. It is spiritual work. When you serve the Lord, no matter what area of service, whether it is behind this thing, whether it is in the child care, whether it's mopping the floor, whether it's at your home with your vacuum cleaner, at your kitchen sink, wherever it might be, and you are doing it as unto the Lord, you're serving him, you're sowing to the Spirit. And boy, how we need that. Number six, last one, and that is giving. That is sowing to the Spirit. Now, it's interesting that the context of that passage of sowing and reaping in Galatians, and then there's another one in 2 Corinthians about sowing and reaping, they're both in the context of giving. As we give to the Lord our tithes and our offerings, we are sowing to the Spirit. It's a spiritual law. We give, and this is not the faith teachers that say, you sow $10 and you'll get 20 back. That is nonsense. You can sow $10 and you can be blessed when you walk out the door by some other means. It's not monetary. But giving is sowing to the Spirit. Giving of our tithes, our offerings, and giving of our time and our other resources. There are lots of specific ways within these six ways that we can sow to the Spirit. Maybe you can talk about those in your group times and how you specifically sow to the Spirit in your life so that you walk in the Spirit. If those things that I just mentioned maybe weren't on your list when you jotted it down at the beginning, maybe tomorrow they can be on your list because the Lord has spoken to your heart and said, oh, that's what I need to do. Oh, okay, that's why I've been grumpy or grouchy. That's why I've been in my flesh because of this and that. You know, don't you love how the Lord speaks to you when you sit and you listen to the Word or you listen to a Bible study and he's just talking the whole time to us. And, you know, he pricks our heart. And says, that. Or he takes you off down a road and gives you other scriptures or whatever. It just, he's always working in our lives. I love it. So us sowing to the Spirit has to be a way of life. Again, not just a checklist of, okay, I'm going to do these six things, then I'll walk in the Spirit. It just has to be out of love, out of surrender, and we just do it and then let the Lord flow through our lives. Now, personally, for me, my flesh, it is either very strong or very weak, depending on how you want to look at it. Either way, it's not good. And the older I have gotten and the longer I have walked with the Lord, I need more. I need more of him. I need to sow to my spirit more in my life than ever before. And you would think, you know, if you would have asked me 32 years ago, Do you think in 32 years it will be easier for you, that it'll just, you know, kind of just come out? And, you know, I would say, well, yeah, because isn't that the way it works? Well, it's not that way. It's not that way, because my old man is still just mostly dead. He's still alive. And he still wants to fight, and sometimes even more. This year has been one of the worst for warfare for me. It is relentless. It's just nonstop. A continual battle with my flesh, with the enemy who stirs up my flesh. It's just constant. I need more. And as I said before, and I'm not saying this because I'm anything or whatever. It's just, this is who I am, and I'm talking, and that's why I'm going to say it. I have my quiet time with the Lord. I love it. I don't skip it. I don't. I love it. But the older I get, I need more. I can't just do that. I need more all day long. I need more. I need to pick up another devotional book and read that scripture later in the day. I need to pick up my Bible and read that. I need to put on that Bible study. I need to put on that praise music. I need to consciously praise the Lord and pray more. I need to keep my mind more and more on Him the older I get. And I don't know, I assume that happens with everybody. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But even recently, I was on a walk, beautiful walk, having a wonderful time. And I just happened to see two things that were disgusting. They just were not pleasant. They were just awful. Which then, because of the way I am, my mind went to that, and then it went to that, and then it went to that. And then pretty soon, I am so irritated, and I'm on a nice walk. And nobody was around. Nobody bothered me. It was just me, myself, and I all by myself. And I had to bring my mind back around and then choose, you know, put off that flesh, put off those thoughts, bring them into captivity, and let heaven fill my thoughts, and then start over again. And it's just every day, all day long. And it's a choice, but I tell you, it's a good choice, because the other is no fun. So if you're struggling to walk in the Spirit, maybe you haven't had that love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering, the kindness and the faithfulness and the gentleness and the self-control, the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of your life. Maybe you need to sow to the Spirit more and more. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe your devotional time in the morning is not long enough. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe you need to do it again at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then on your lunch break, and then in the afternoon when you grab that snack and that coffee or whatever it might be, to sow to your spirit more and more, so that you would decrease and that Jesus would increase. So changes might need to be made in your life, and you might need to ask the Lord, what are they? Is there something I need to stop doing? Is there something I need to do? How can I specifically, Lord, sow to my spirit? Because we're all individual. What is it, Lord, that you want me to do? And how can you put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you make no provision for the flesh? And Father, I pray that you would help us, and I pray and I praise you that you have given us the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can walk in the Spirit, so that we can have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control flow out of our lives. And Lord, if any of my sisters are battling, and it's because they've been sowing to the flesh, would you make that known to them and then help them put that away? I pray that you would help each one of us put off those works of the flesh and then put on the new man, that we would walk in the newness of life, that we would be conscious now of what we are sowing and what we're going to reap. And we would be conscious now of walking in your Spirit, that we would yield to you and let you have your way in our lives. Praise you and thank you that you work and that the work that you've begun is not complete. We look forward, Lord, to what you're going to do. And would you bless these women as they go into their groups? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.